Well, greetings to everybody at National Community Church. Thrilled that you're here this weekend as we continue a trip around the sun. It is an absolute joy this weekend to welcome Pastor Michael Hall. Now, he is 75 years young, and I want to be like him when I grow up. He has the spirit of Caleb, full of faith, and Michael and Terry become dear friends of Laura and I. We treasure their friendship. So grateful for his voice of wisdom in my life. And I want to tell you something. We would not be the church that we are without them. Our Capitol Hill campus belonged to the People's Church that Pastor Michael pastors for 49 years before we ever showed up. And so, listen, we are stewarding. We are just continuing what they started. And so this weekend, we welcome home Pastor Michael Hall, and I want you to give a huge NCC welcome as he comes and shares the word with us.
Hello, NCC. It's good to be here. I think back to when I was a young man at 72 and met Mark Batterson, and my meeting with him changed my life completely. I'm so honored to be here, and it's a pleasure to be here to share with you on these trips around the sun. 75 trips around the sun. I can't believe it. In 9 days, I will have made 76 trips around the sun. It's just astonishing. And I realize I'm getting older. I realize I'm running out of time. So I guess it's time to share some things about my life. I know that everyone that you've heard speak during this series has lived exemplary lives and has done everything right. That's not me. I'm here tonight to talk to you about how God took a broken life and put it back together. I wish I could say that I listened to all of the good advice that I had when I was growing up, but I didn't. And somehow the Lord impressed on my heart to share this with you tonight. I'm going to share some things I don't think I've even shared with Pastor Mark. How God took my life when it was so far down and so messed up and brought me into a wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ and called me to be a pastor. And I thank God for changing my life. I wish I'd listened. I wish I'd listened when I was in my 20s to people that gave me good advice, but I didn't. So I want to share some things tonight, and I want to start with Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And there's a couple words that jump out of that portion of Scripture, but God. I found in living 75 years, there have been a couple of times in my life when it would have gone really, really south on me, but God stepped in. And I don't know if there's anyone here today that has had that happen in their life, but it's a wonderful thing when God steps into your life. So I thank God for everyone that's here to listen to my story. Again, I'm sorry it's not all plus and wonderful things. But maybe there's someone here today. I know at NCC you have a wonderful place to worship, and everybody's telling you the right thing to do, and you know the right thing to do, but there might be one or two people here today that has made mistakes in their life, and I want you to look at what God has done to me and through me, and I pray that God will give you hope. I know it's a wonderful thing to have hope, and I think God using Pastor Mark to do this trips around the sun. I think one of the wonderful things that older people can do is tell you where all the potholes are, where all the bridges are that are washed out. So that's what I'm here tonight. I can't believe, like I said, that in 9 days I'll be 75. I want you to know that I come from a generation where people my age were born before smartphones or iPads. It's very quiet because you can't even imagine a life like that. Graduated schools without computers or Wikipedia or the internet, but somehow we made it. It's astonishing that we live this long without all those things. Try it someday. Put all that stuff aside for a day and see what your life is like. That's how we grew up. So as I share this with you, I want to talk about what God has done in my life. I was born into a family of pastors and church planters. They were also powerful prayer warriors. They knew how to pray. There's nothing like prayer in your life, and there's nothing like being around people who know how to pray. I don't care what situation you're in, if you can get a hold of somebody that knows how to pray, God can fix it for you. He can straighten it out. Their ministry was one of reconciliation in an era of segregation and separation. They ministered to everybody that crossed their path. The main campus of NCC is where they started that church originally back in 1962. And at that church, you can go across the street and you can see a plaque that talks about a ministry of reconciliation. I am the result of reconciliation. My life is God taking a broken vessel and putting it back together. I don't know if anybody's ever felt like that God had to do that in their life. I was exposed to all of the good things, the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was exposed to all of that and all the right things. But because of the mistakes I made in my life and in some great tragedies in my life, instead of turning to God, I turned away from God. I wish I hadn't, but I did. I became the prodigal son. I don't know if you've ever read the story or heard it taught or preached about the prodigal son, but I was the prodigal son. Even with godly parents pointing me toward the right things, I chose unwisely. Jesus said in the book of John that the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And that's just about what he did in my life. You know, it's a funny thing when we try to share our testimony with people around us who are outside of the body of Christ, they just don't get it. Well, I didn't get it. I was in a church home. I was in a church family. I was watching people come to church and live a godly life. But somehow, all of the depressing things that had happened to me, all the mistakes, all the tragedy in my life, instead of turning me to God and me opening our ears to what God had to say to me, I turned away. But in my 30s, I started to listen and read the Word of God and to pray, and finally, I surrendered my life to God. And that's one of the most important things that you can do in your life is surrender completely and totally to God. And that began a wonderful journey, studying for the ministry, and eventually becoming a pastor of an incredible church. So at 75, every day I claim the spirit of Caleb. Someone whispered in my ear just a few minutes ago that me telling that story of being like Caleb, and they named one of their children Caleb. Well, Caleb was 85, so I've got a ways to go, but I claim that spirit of Caleb. Every day when I get out of bed, I'm excited about doing something for God. It's a wonderful thing when you can have the joy of the Lord in your life. It's a wonderful thing when you can get out of bed in the morning and look forward to what God's going to do with you and through you. No matter how wrong you may have been, no matter how many mistakes you've made, no matter how far you've got to go in your walk with the Lord, it's a wonderful thing to wake up with the joy of the Lord in your heart every day. Someone said, as I get older, I pay less attention to what men say. I just watch what they do. So in my later years, as I'm getting closer to the end, most everyone here that's sitting listening to me, you're just starting out. And I'm getting closer to the end of the race. But I enjoy it. I love it. I love being at this place in my life. And I love it because when I was most battered and worn from my mistakes, God gave me some simple, powerful gifts that have sustained me. And I want to share them with you while I'm speaking today. One of the things someone asked me, what do I love most about the character of God? I love His grace and I love His love. I want to talk in a minute about His love. After 75 trips around the sun, I'm still amazed at God's love for me because I was altogether unlovable. I don't know if anyone listening to me has ever felt that way, that you were unlovable. But it's a wonderful thing to feel and to experience the love of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. See, love makes you give.
He gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And God loved us. That's why we are Christians. And when we come to Christ, it's because of God's great love. But then Jesus gives us another scripture over in John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Love is a powerful thing. I don't know if you've ever had a day where nobody loved you, or you didn't feel like someone loved you, and you felt like you could just fall into a hole and not get out of the hole, and someone comes along and gives you a hug. I don't know about you, but I love those hugs. Someone says, I love you. And they say it to you, and they don't care what you've done or what you've been through or what you're going through. They just love you. So Jesus said that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Doesn't matter how we dress. Doesn't matter our all these denominational theologies. It's if we have love one for another. Love is powerful. Everybody that's listening to me, just reach over and touch someone and say, love is a powerful thing. Love is a powerful thing. I just recently lost my mother, who died at the age of almost 95. She was in the ministry for 70 years. The biggest impact of her 70 years in the ministry was just loving everyone. Because of my mother's love for everyone, her wake and her funeral was unlike anyone I had ever been a part of. She loved anyone, no matter what they were going through. It's because of her love for me that I gave my heart to the Lord. But at her funeral, a devout Muslim young man stood at her casket praying, I'm sure to Allah, but with tears coming down her eyes, and said, I've never met a woman like your mother. She just loved me. If people can see that in us, if they can see that love of Christ, we will transform the world around us. So his love, when I was battered and worn out, God showered his love on me. And I'm grateful for that. Then there is his grace. Every day I lived, I'm overwhelmed by his grace. Now, we all know that means God's unmerited favor. I don't know about you, but I was totally unworthy. I was the son of a pastor, and that's not an easy thing to be. Everybody looked at me like I should be righteous and holy, and all I could do is be rotten and terrible. Everybody thought I should be just a saint, but I was a sinner. But you know, God's grace, his unmerited favor, overwhelmed me. There's an old hymn of the church that says, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sin. I love the grace of God. I'm grateful for the grace of God. Every day when in my prayer time, I thank God for his grace. I don't deserve it, but I'm thankful for it. Paul, when he's talking to the church at Ephesus, says in the first chapter of Ephesians, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. When I read that after I became a Christian, I realized that all those years I had screwed everything up in my life. I was just dragging my feet while God was waiting for me to say yes and to bring me into the kingdom of God so he could start the plan that he has for our lives. Each one of you sitting here today, each one of you listening to me, God has a special plan for your life. You're not just anybody. You're somebody that God has chosen before the foundation of the world. Do you realize what that means? It means before he spoke the worlds into existence, we resided in his heart. He had a plan picked out for us. He had everything arranged for our life. He's just waiting for us to say yes. He says he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, when I became a believer, after all the life that I lived, it took a while before I did anything that was not without blame. But God slowly worked in my heart, and he told me through his word, he says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. I was so far out, nobody wanted to accept me in a congregation. But God said he made me accepted in the beloved. And I'm telling you, once you become a member of a body of Christ, it's a wonderful thing. It's lonely out in the world. I don't know about you, but I was very lonely out there. I thought I was having a good time, but I didn't realize how lonely I was. But once I became part of a body of Christ and I started going to church and God started to transform my life, I realized the place that he had brought me from and where he was taking me to. Oh, I love the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us." He's rich in mercy. That's the thing I love about God. We can never exhaust his love. We can never exhaust his mercy. And no matter what we're going through, no matter what you're going through, God has enough love and grace and mercy to meet your need, whatever it is in your life. God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then he tells how we're actually converted. He said, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. I don't know about you. I don't know if there's anyone here listening today that's ever tried to straighten themselves up when they're trying to get their life together. We try to clean ourselves up. We try to prop ourselves up. We try to lift ourselves up. But it's not us. It's all God. By grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I tried so hard because of my past. I knew that a godly mother and father were praying for me. I know that other people were looking at me and judging me about what I should become. But I was having such a hard time getting there until I got alone with God and his word and started to see that it was him. He's doing everything. By his grace we're saved. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And you know, when we try to do things ourselves, we want to boast about it. We want to talk about how good we are. But it's all God. For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I'm so glad that I can stand here today and tell you that God changed my life. A hopeless life, a sad life. God filled me with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I don't know what happened. I don't think I ever had the sense of humor when I was unsaved as I do now. Now I love everything. I love laughing. I see humor in everything. And those two things, love and grace, is not only the only things that he gave me. He hooked me up with prayer. See, to me, prayer is God's smartphone. You know, social media is not new. Prayer is God's smartphone. The privilege of prayer, just the fact that we can talk to our Heavenly Father in prayer, is an amazing thing. So think about this, the privilege of prayer, the privilege that we have to be able to come into the presence of God. Then there is the power of prayer. See, I'm one of those old ones that know for a fact that prayer is powerful. Now, you don't have to always go to a seminar to learn how to pray. All you have to do is just pray. Pray. Nobody has to tell you how to pray. Just pray. Then there's the weapon of prayer. All the things that God delivered me from after I became a believer, and even as I was studying for the ministry, the devil would bring things against me and try to destroy me, and he'd always remind me of what I had done in my life. But you know, an old saint told me, listen, anytime the devil is whispering in your ear about all the things that you're doing, just remind him of his future. Prayer is a powerful weapon. And as you grow in the Lord and want to become a witness for the Lord and you want to witness to other people so that you can lead them to the Lord, pray about that person before you talk to them. And I promise you, somebody already told me today how God was leading them in different areas and how they're going into places that you wouldn't even think Christians would go and how God was saving people. That's how he uses us. Then there's the connectedness, it's not a very good word, of prayer. It's a wonderful thing to be connected to the Lord through prayer. The Bible says pray without ceasing. You know, you can do that in the car. Now, it's okay now because we all have Bluetooth, and in my car, it's in, you know, I drive a little Mini Cooper, and it's all set up where I can just talk and don't have to take my hands off the wheels. But before that, before there was any of that, they would see us driving down the road, and we'd be talking. They thought we had lost our minds, but we'd be talking to the Lord. And when Jesus says pray without ceasing, there's a million times in a day that you can pray. Just stop and say, Lord, I need to talk to you for a second, and talk to him. And here's another way you can pray. An old member of the church told me this, ACTS, this acronym, ACTS, A-C-T-S, acknowledge who God is, confess your sins, thank him for what he's done, then ask him your supplication. A lot of us want to get on our knees and start praying to God and asking him for things. But I want to tell you today that prayer changes things. Reach out again and touch somebody sitting beside you, and prayer changes things. I can promise you, I didn't make it 75 trips around the sun without finding out that prayer changes things. Then there's the Word of God. There's nothing more powerful than the Word of God, the Bible. When you look at the Word of God, you understand that it is food. The Word of God feeds you. Now, it doesn't matter. I know I've got an old Bible, and Pastor Mike used this a few minutes ago, but I have it on my iPhone and an iPad. I have it all, wherever you have it. You need to read the Word of God. It won't do you any good. Someone said the person who won't read has no advantage over the person who can't read. So if you want the Word of God to transform your life, you're going to have to get into it and read. The power of God's Word. The more you read the Word of God, it builds your faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You want to have faith to believe that God can do amazing things in your life? Read the Word of God. It builds your faith. The reality of God's Word. It's real. The Bible describes it as God-breathed. It's not some ancient document that's not alive. It's alive. And it applies today like it did 1,000 years ago. And if the Lord tarries another 1,000 years, it'll still be current. There's nothing like it in the world. The reality of God's Word, the direction that we find in God's Word. You want answers to all the problems in life? Pick up your Bible and read it. You know, pastors, we don't have all the answers, and we make mistakes. We're just human. But you read the Word of God, it'll tell you exactly what you need to do. And then the Word of God is an anchor. If you are anchored in the Word of God, if you read the Word of God on a daily basis, you will start to remember Scripture. You hear Pastor Mike, Pastor Joel, Pastor Mark quoting Scripture. It's because they've read it over and over and over again. And that's what the Bible talks about, the Holy Spirit bringing it to our remembrance. Now, I know that if you've ever been in almost an accident, about the only thing we can do in that split second is just call the name of Jesus. But you know, when you need the Word in your life, God will give it to you. The Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. Now, it won't bring it to your remembrance if you never read it, but you have to read it. All right, someone asked me, here's what I believe you should be valuing to keep your faith strong for the long run. I think you need to build a consistent daily devotional walk with the Lord if you're going to make it. It's not just enough to come to church when the church is opening. You need to have a daily devotional walk with the Lord. And to become a disciple of Christ, I'm going to suggest 4 things for you. They're very simple. One is to read the Word of God. We just finished with the U.S. Capitol Bible Reading Marathon, where we stood on the steps of the U.S. Capitol. We began on the Sunday prior to the National Day of Prayer, which is first Thursday in May. We began on a Sunday evening in Genesis 1:1, and we read through the entire Bible over a period of 5 days. You can read through the entire Bible if you read just 15 minutes a day. A lot of people don't even realize. You read 15 minutes a day. You can start in Genesis 1:1. You'll finish up Revelation 22. So that's what I think you need. If you're going to make it for the long run, you're going to have to stay in the Word of God. You're going to have to pray. Prayer, the Bible, worship. We need to worship on a regular basis. God just flushes all that stuff out of our life that we don't need. When you stand in the house of God with your hands upraised, feeling the power of the Holy Spirit washing through you with worship, it transforms you. It strengthens you. And then the other thing, witness. Be a witness wherever you go. Stand out, even if it's just praying over your food in a restaurant. I remember when I was young and I my dad would always make us pray. He would pray loud and long. And he would hold hands. And I always thought, what if lightning hits him? I'm dead. Didn't bother him at all. He prayed loud and long. All the starving kids here and there. But you know, it's a wonderful thing. I when I see people praying over their food, I go and say, God bless you for that witness. So, prayer, the Bible, worship, witness. Those basic four things will build a daily devotional walk with the Lord. It'll make you stronger than you ever imagined. Then here's something else. Have a passion for Christ. Make every minute of your life count. I've been asked, what is the most important discipleship moments in your life? Well, I'll give you a couple of them. See my father, a powerful preacher, defender of the faith, weep on his knees over people who don't know Jesus Christ. Watching my mother read through the Bible, she read through it 52 times. Watching her reach out with the love of Christ to everyone who crossed her path, saint or sinner, gay or straight, Muslim, atheist, agnostic, backslider. She loved and encouraged the immigrant. She never judged them. She just allowed the love of Christ to overwhelm them. I think there's something that we need to pray for today is pray that God fills us with his love. Amen. So because God brought me through all of that, and I hope some of this has encouraged you if you're going through something in your life, I want you to know that no matter how bad the beginning of my life was, it's so wonderful now. I've been in love and married to this beautiful lady over here for 44 years. And I'm still in love. I shared with someone when I first met her many, many years ago. I asked her here in Washington, D.C., where could I take her to lunch? She said to Philadelphia, to Pat's Steak. And I got in the car and drove up. I would have driven to New York, but it's how much I was in love with this, and I still am. But because she's with me and the Lord is with me, every day I wake up, every single day I stand on this promise that you all know by heart. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called. Did you know that you're the called? You're chosen of God? The called according to his purpose. No matter what it seems, it's going to work out according to his purpose. Finally, I've learned with 75 trips around the sun with God, you can do more than you ever dreamed you could do. Just wait for some of those but God moments to happen in your life. And I found there's a place for old shepherds like me encouraging young people. And one last thing I want to say before I pray. When I was younger, only the great things of God really interested me. But now that I'm older, the small things that he does every single day mean everything to me. Even little tiny flowers that are so tiny that you have to take a magnifying glass to look at. That was created by a God who loves you and me, a God who loves you, a God who wants you to know that whatever you're going through, he's going through it with you, a God who's willing to pick you up and restore you, to give you a second chance. It's wonderful to know a God of a second chance. Bow your heads, please. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're able to do in each and every life. God, if there's someone here today that does not know you in the pardoning of their sins, I pray that right now you'll speak to their heart. They'll allow the Holy Spirit to draw them to you. God, I pray if there's anyone here who is in the middle of a broken life, they've made mistake after mistake, God, I want you to just reveal to them that you're a God of second chances. If there's anyone here listening today who's just depressed and about to give up or struggling with some issue in their life, you're here today to meet that need. You're here today to bring deliverance. We feel the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit in this place today. Holy Spirit of God, just move in this congregation. Lord, wrap your arms around whoever is hurting, and we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Lord, I bless NCC. I bless every campus at this wonderful church. I bless them to be a blessing to others. I bless them to have the joy of the Holy Spirit in their life. I bless them to be encouraged as young people. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the authority and the right to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.